the Chinuch Katan, which is how he referred to his introduction. And we learned about two different types of love. A love that a person has almost automatically by reaching a level of absolute righteousness. And then we spoke about a love that a person can work on. Now, why is that the introduction to what we're about to delve into, the Shar HaYichud VeHamuna? So the truth is, I think the answer is found in the opening lines, as it's printed, really these two lines that are found before the first parak. And he writes that the Shar HaYichud VeHamuna is Lahavin Ma'at Mize'er Mashakasu B'Zohar. We're going to try to explain a little bit of what the Zohar explained, what the Zohar mentioned, what the Zohar spoke about. D'shema Yisrael hu Yichuda Ila, uvarach Shem Kavod Malchuso liolam va'ed hu Yichuda Tata. That Shema Yisrael represents a certain higher level of unity, an echad that we're trying to declare and trying to live with and to recognize. And Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuso liolam va'ed is what we call Yichuda Tata, the lower level unity. Now if you think back to last week, so you start to think, well, maybe there's a level of echad that I can work on, and maybe there's a level of echad that if I perfect myself in a certain way, I'll be zocheto. The same way we spoke about Ava Hashem. There's a type of Ava that a person can nurture, a lower level Ava, and then there's a higher level Ava, which is really given what we call Ava B'Ta'anugim, a certain reward that's given to a person who has committed himself and worked on himself and refined himself to a certain degree. So I think that's why the Baal HaTanya, and we'll have to see if it's true, I think that's why he introduced us last week to these two levels of Ahava. And now he's going to introduce us, and it's going to take a couple of weeks to a couple of prakim to really understand it. Again, the whole Shar Yichud VeHamuna is only 12 chapters, only 12 prakim. But we're going to try to understand, what does that mean? There's a concept of Yichuda Ilah and Yichuda Tata. You understand why that term itself is paradoxical? If we're talking about yichud, if we're talking about oneness, so how can there be higher level oneness and lower level oneness? If it's all one, then it's one. So that's sort of the secret question that the Baal HaTanya is sort of bothered by and wants to address. What does the Zohar mean that there could be a higher level and a lower level oneness, as reflected by the opening two statements of Shema, which is a pasuk, and Baruch Shem, which is really just a Gemara, it's not a Pasuk, it's not a Pasuk in Chumash, Baruch Shem Kvod Machos Ol Yolam Ve'ed. It's a statement of Yaakov Avinu on his deathbed, according to the Gemara in Pesachim. So we need to understand what these two levels of Yichud, of absolute recognition of Hashem's unity, what does that mean? How could there be different levels if we're talking about ultimate oneness? Okay, but let's leave that on the back burner for now. That's sort of a question that's lurking in the background. And let's ask a question on a pasuk that we're very familiar with. You say it every time you say Aleinu. And that is the pasuk of Yadata Hayom Vashevosa Elevavecha Ki Hashem Hu Elokim Vashamai Mima'al Va'aretz Mitachas Ein Od. So, Chavra, for those of us, and it's most of us, who learned through the 10 Yesodos of the Baal Shem Tov, like we learned in the first 10 Shirim this year, from the Divrei Shmuel, from the back of the Divrei Shmuel of Slanim, the first principle that we spoke about was Ein Od Milvado. And we explained that there's really three ways to understand Ein Od Milvado. The most basic way is to say that it's talking about the quantity of gods. There's one God, there's not two gods. Ein Od Milvado, there's no other God besides Hashem. But that's not such a big chiddush. For a Jew, that's not such a hard thing to buy into, to accept. So then we said, well, maybe there's a higher level of Ein Od Milvado. No one compares to Hashem. It's not a matter of quantity, it's a matter of quantity, it's a matter of quality. The quality of Hashem is, nothing's like it. We're still not saying it. The Baal Shem Tov came along, for those who remember from our first shiur on the Baal Shem Tov, and the Baal Shem Tov said, Ein Od Milvado means there is literally nothing other than Hashem. So what is the bottle that Dovi is currently drinking out of? Does it not really exist? And the answer is, well, it sort of does and it sort of doesn't. Ami, you want to get in on the action now? Okay. Right? And what is the cup that Ami is drinking out of? Right? It's nothing other than Hashem. Ein Od Milvado. There is no you and there is no me and there's no anything. There's only a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So now let's come back to this pasuk, reminding ourselves of those three interpretations of Ein Od Milvado. There's nothing other than Hashem. So let's read this pasuk. V'yadata hayom v'ashevos elavavecha. You should know it as clear as day and you should take it to heart. That Hashem is the God in the Shemayim above and in the earth below, Ein Od, and there's no other God. So says the Baal HaTanya, I mean, we're like talking it up. V'yadata hayo, make sure you learn the sugya well. Hashivos alavecha, take it to heart. Make sure you know that there's only one God above and one God below. It's all one God. Come on. That's something we need to really work on. We know that. It's the first thing we learn when we're little kids. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. V'tzarech lahovin, says the Baal HaTanya. V'chita'ale al da'etacha, sheyesh Elohim nishra b'mayim mitachas la'aretz. Are we really, I mean, do we really believe in, you know, the water god and the sky god and the cloud god and the sun god and the moon god? Do we really need a pasuk in Chumash to speak in such a stern way, such a serious way? Make sure, take it to heart that there's no god under the water. In case you think there's a different god, you know, an ocean god and a heavens god. You should take it to heart. Shetorach lahazir kol kach, hashevos el vavecha. Make sure you know it well. However, we all know there's one god. We don't need to review this all that much. It's pretty simple. It's pretty basic. It's the starting point of our Yiddishkeit. So why does the Torah say it in such a serious way? Take it to heart. Think about it. Internalize it. Study it. We know it. So obviously we're missing something. Obviously it's not just teaching us to believe in one God. It must be teaching us, again, thinking back to how the Baal Shem Tov explains, Einod Mavado, it's internalizing the fact that there's nothing other than Hashem. And that Hashem is ever present in every single bit of creation. That's what we're going to learn tonight. Okay, let's see it inside. Hine ksiv la'olam Hashem devarcha nitzav bashamayim. The pasuk in Tehillim teaches us that the word of Hashem, la'olam, forever, the word of Hashem is nitzav bashamayim, is standing in the place in Shamayim. Uperesh Baal Shem Tov. So the Baal Shem Tov explained, what does it mean Hashem's word is forever in place? Ki devarcha she'amarta yehi rakia b'soch hamayim. When did Hashem say, let there be a rakia in between the waters, that there should be a firmament, there should be a sky, there should be a space between the upper waters and the lower waters? When did Hashem say that? On the second day of creation. So let me ask you the question again, Dani. When did Hashem say yehi rakia b'soch hamayim? You know what the right answer is, according to the Baal Shem Tov. Hashem is saying it right now. Hashem never stopped saying it. Every second of every of all of history, Hashem is constantly, perpetually saying it. La'olam, forever, Hashem, the word of Hashem, devarcha nitzav b'shamayim, the word of Hashem is forever being placed into the heavens. At every moment, Hashem is pumping, yihi rakia b'soch hamayim, yihi rakia b'soch hamayim. Hashem at every second is saying, there should be a David Lifshitz, whatever it is that we see, whatever it is that we encounter. It's not that Hashem once upon a time said there should be a rakia. Hashem at every moment, la'olam, the word of Hashem is forever upholding the heavens. Every single second. Every single second, the letters, the words, the dvar Hashem is being pumped into the world, and that's creating the reality. Tevos va'osios elu, he nitzavos va'omdos la'olam. Those words, those letters, are forever in their place, assigning the rakia to its spot in Shemayim, umlubashos besoch kol rakiyim laolam lachayosam. So you look up at the sky. I was driving my daughter to school this morning, and I said, "Wow, Gabriela, check out that huge marshmallow." There was like this white cloud. It looked, it was so bright, it was so white, right? It was a remarkable sight. And every second, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is willing that cloud, willing that into existence. Hashem is willing the sky into existence. Now, if we had the eyes to see, what would we see? We wouldn't see a cloud. We wouldn't see a blue sky. We would see the letters and the words, Yehi Rakia B'soch Hamayim, written all over the heavens. Our eyes can't see that. But the Baal Shem Tov says we need to know that. We need to know that the Dvar Hashem, the very words of the Torah, are actually what is forming. It's creating the formation of the heavens at every single moment. Now, I want to pause here and just mention to you that the Baal Shem Tov was actually not the first one to say this. Everyone points out that the truth is Chazal already in the Medrash Tehillim seemed to have this idea. The Chazal already seemed to explain on this pasuk, La'olam Hashem devarcha nitzav b'shamayim, this notion that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is what? That Hashem is constantly creating and recreating the world. And we'll see the sources he's about to quote are going to remind us of how true this idea is. So the question that is asked is, why did the Baal HaTanya ascribe this teaching to the Baal Shem Tov? Why didn't he say, the Medrash says, So in Rav Yoel Kahn, in Rav Yoel Kahn's parish on the Shara Yichud Va'amuna, which I have in front of me, in his Iyunim, in his, you know, more Be'iyun section on each of the Prakim, he brings three answers to this question. Number one, he says, it could be that the Baal Tanya attributed this teaching to the Baal Shem Tov, because the Baal Shem Tov was the one who always spoke about this. It's true, the Medrash says it. But the same way that the Gemara in Ksubis and Daf Chav Beis quotes Rav Asi as citing a Pasuk, and Tosfos says, why are you quoting Rav Asi? It's a Pasuk. Why are you quoting Rav Asi? It's a Pasuk in Mishlei. Rav Asi said, Rav Asi didn't say, it's in Mishlei. Tosfos explains, it's attributed to Rav Asi in the Gemara because Rav Asi always quoted that Pasuk in Mishlei. It was his favorite Pasuk. Or like it says in Pirkei Avos, that Shmuel HaKatan said, when your enemy falls, don't rejoice. Shmuel HaKatan said that? That's a Pasuk. Binfolo Ivecha Al Tismach is a Pasuk. Well, why are you attributing it to another Pasuk in Mishlei? Why are you attributing it to Shmuel HaKatan? But Shmuel HaKatan always spoke about this. So one answer why the Baal Tanya attributed this teaching to the Baal Shem Tov is because the Baal Shem Tov was the one who always spoke about it. He wanted us to see the world this way. He wanted us to recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is willing into existence everything that we see at any given moment. A second possibility is what he brings, that the Rebbe Rayatz, the sixth Lubavitch Rebbe, once shared that his grandfather, the Rebbe Maharash, the fourth Rebbe of Lubavitch, asked the Semach Tzedek, the third Rebbe, his father, why is it that the Baal Tanya quotes the Baal Shem Tov here? He asked him this question. Why attribute it to the Baal Shem Tov? Quote the Medrash. So he said that the Medrash was arranged by Rav Oshia, and that's why the Medrash begins Pasach Rav Oshia. It puts Rav Oshia's name at the beginning of the Medrash. Rashi, when he begins his commentary on Chumash, Rashi, the Halakha Rashi, when he begins his commentary on Chumash, he begins Omer Rabbi Yitzchak. Who's Rashi? Rashi's name is Rav Shlomo ben Yitzchak. Now the truth is Rashi's actually not quoting his father. It seems that that theory has been debunked. Right? It's not true. There was a Tana Rabbi Yitzchak who's being quoted really by Rashi. But again, as a way of starting with, you know, his origin, so he mentions Rabbi Yitzchak. It's Rashi's way of, so to speak, referencing himself within Rashi. The way Rav Oshia begins the Medrash because Rav Oshia wrote the Medrash. So he explained that the Alter Rebbe wanted to what? Wanted to acknowledge the fact that the Baal Shem Tov is so deeply connected to this pasuk of Yehi Rakia B'soch HaMayim. You know why? Because the Baal Shem Tov was born in the year 1698. And the birthday of the Baal Shem Tov is Chai Elul, the 18th of Elul. And in the year 1698, the 18th of Elul was on a Monday, on the second day of the week. And it was on the second day of creation that Hashem said, Yehi Rakia B'soch HaMayim. So as a way of showing the relationship between the Baal Shem Tov and this teaching, how it's an essential expression of who he was, and that's why he was born on the second day of the week, the second day of creation, so to speak. That's why the Baal HaTanya attributed it to the Baal Shem Tov. That's a second explanation. A third reason that the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Zatzal, used to say, and he explained in one of his sichos, as to why it's attributed to the Baal Shem Tov, it's not so much that the Baal Shem Tov was peirash, that the Baal Shem Tov explained it as such, because already Chazal explained this teaching. But the Baal Shem Tov, what? Don't read it as peirash. Read it as what? As if it's a sin. Right? Peiras. The Baal Shem Tov was what? He expanded. He spread out this idea. The Baal Shem Tov was the one who expanded upon this idea. Again, it's a little different than the first answer. The first answer says that the Baal Shem Tov always spoke about this idea. Peiras means the Baal Shem Tov, right? Ufros aleinu sukah shomecha. The Baal Shem Tov expanded this idea. The Baal Shem Tov broadened this idea. And maybe that's why the Baal HaTanya attributes it to the Baal Shem Tov. But either way, it's rooted in Chazal, and the Baal Shem Tov certainly was fond of the idea. The Baal Shem Tov certainly expanded this idea. And the Baal Shem Tov was deeply on a soulful level connected to this idea. Yehi Rakia B'soch HaMayim means that every single second, Hashem is saying, Yehi Rakia B'soch HaMayim, Yehi Rakia B'soch HaMayim, Yehi Rakia B'soch HaMayim. And those letters are giving the energy to the heavens above. Let's keep going. Kedichsiv, as we know, as it says, let's go back half a line. Right? So the Tevos and the Osios, they themselves are standing in their place in Shemayim, upholding the heavens. Umelubashos B'soch Kol HaRakiyim La'olam L'Achayosam. And those letters take on the form of the sky as we see it with our physical eyes, the sky above our heads. But we have to remind ourselves, Udvar Elokeinu Yakum Le'olam. The word of Hashem upholds the heavens at any moment. The word of Hashem is willing us into existence right now. The pen that I'm holding in my hand only exists because Hashem is actively willing it into existence at this very moment. And therefore, Ein Od Melvado, there's nothing other than Hashem. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's breath, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's words that give existence. Udvarav Chayim V'Kayamim La'at, like we say in our davening in the morning. It's the Dvar Hashem that's what? That is alive, that gives life to all. What would happen if Hashem stopped talking about it for a moment? What if God wasn't at every second, so to speak, saying, Yehi Rakia, Yehi Rakia, Yehi Rakia, Yehi Rakia? What if Hashem stopped? What if Hashem pulled back His hand from the world for a second? Be'emes. Again, we live all the time with the perception that Hashem has pulled back His hands. But in truth, Hashem is involved in our life. What happens if Hashem actually withdrew His presence for even a second? If Hashem were to withdraw those letters for even a moment, for a rega, chas v'shalom v'chozos l'mekoran, everything would go back to what? To nothing. It would all collapse. Hayu kol ha-shamayim ayin v'efes mamish, the heavens and the earth would be no longer, v'hayu kolo hayu klal. Now this line is very fascinating. He doesn't say that from that point forward the world would no longer exist. What would happen if all of a sudden I had, you know, the table that I'm sitting at, imagine it collapsed, right? It broke. So first of all, I would still have the pieces. And even if I decided that I can't rebuild the table and I put it in the garbage, right? So history would tell the tale that this table once existed. And I once sat at it and we were once learning together the Shahar Yichud V'Amunah. If Hashem undoes the world, it's not that the world once existed and now from this point forward the world no longer exists. Undoing the world means that everything is erased retroactively as if it never was. That's a wild idea. V'hayu kolo hayu klal. If Hashem took back Yehi Rakia B'soch HaMayim, it's not that, well, you know, we had it for 5,781 years. Tavshin Pei Aleph is when the Rakia stopped. No, no. There never was a Rakia. It's removed. It's stricken from the record completely. U'kamo kodem Maimer Yehi Rakia, as it was before there ever was a world. Mamish. Mamish, completely erased, as if it never was, it never happened. Wow. V'chein b'chol ha-beruim, she-b'chol ha-olamos, el-yonim v'tachtonim. The same thing is true not only for the Shemayim, we're using this as an example. La'olam Hashem d'var chanitza b'shamayim. But as the Baal HaTani is about to explain, don't get caught on the word Shemayim. Because it's not only true about Shemayim. It's true about everything. It's true about a grain of sand. It's true about a blade of grass. It's true about every person that's alive or ever lived. Every bit of creation, whether you're a human with a Jewish neshama inside of you, whether you're a human with a nefesh bahamas inside of you, whether you're an animal, whether you're a tree, whether you're a rock, your life, the life of a rock, what are you even talking about, the life of a rock? Yes, the life of a rock is sustained only because Hashem is giving it life at that very moment. Everything, above and below, angels, the sun, the moon, the planets, things in this world and things in higher worlds, it all exists because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is willing it into existence. Va'afilu eretz halizu hagashmis, even our physical world down below. You look at an inanimate object, like a rock, it's being recreated. It's being enlivened every second, every moment. Hashem is willing it into existence. Bechinas dome. When we talk about inanimate objects, and again, I think I mentioned to you once, Lubavitcher Rebbe didn't like the term inanimate objects because they're not inanimate. They're alive. That's what we're learning here. They're alive. Dome means what? What does the word dome mean? Vayidom Aaron. Quiet. They're quiet. You don't see how alive a rock is, but a rock is alive. A rock is mamish alive. It's filled with elokus. It's filled with divine presence. Afichinas dome mamish, even inanimate or silent objects. Ilu hayu mistalkus mimena karega chas v'shalom haosios me'asara ma'amaros shebehen nivres ha'aretz b'sheshes mei bereshes. If Hashem would take back the letters of the asara ma'amaros, chaver, you know what the asara ma'amaros are? The 10 vayomers of creation. Vayomer Elokim Yehior. Right? The utterances of speech, the 10 expressions by which Hashem created the world, which created everything. Now, what's the question that you should be asking? You should say, wait a minute, but Hashem never said, right, Yehi Moshe Tzvi Weinberg. Hashem never said, Yehi, this Sharpie highlighter. That's not part of the Vayomers of creation. Hashem never said those things. So obviously, we have to figure out how what Hashem said then is still being said now, albeit in a slightly different way. We have to find ourselves within it. When did Hashem say in the 6 days of creation, let there be a Rabbi Yisrael Baal Shem Tov? Let there be a Heilig Baal Atanya? Hashem never said those words. But those words are being said every second, and it's rooted in what Hashem did say at creation. So we're going to have to figure that out, and that's what we're going to spend the rest of the night doing. This next paragraph is figuring out that question. So when did Hashem say, let there be a Dani Sawson, right? When did Hashem say that? And how did Hashem say that at the time of creation? If I want to open a Chumash and read Bereishis and figure that out, where do I find that? So Chaver, listen carefully. A rock, everything, is filled with these letters of the Asar Ma'amaros, these 10 utterances, these 10 expressions by which Hashem created the world during the 6 days of creation. Ha'isuchozeres la'ayin ve'efes mamish. And if Hashem were to take back those letters, then it would cease to exist. If Hashem withdrew the letters of creation, the world would no longer exist. How does the Torah begin? Bereishis bara Elokim, eis hashamayim ve'eis haaretz. The way that the Maggid of Mezritch explained, and I think we mentioned in one of the Baal Shem Tov Shirim. Bereishis bara Elokim, the first thing Hashem created was eis hashamayim, et, aleph to tav. The letters, the 22 letters of the aleph base. Aleph through tav. Bereishis bara Elokim, et, eis, Shemayim v'aretz. It's with Aleph through Tav, it's with the letters that Hashem creates heaven and earth. And therefore, if Hashem takes back those letters, then the world doesn't cease to exist, that the world never existed. Kamo lifnei sheshes yimei bereshes mamish. It would be as if it never happened. That's an unbelievable idea. So now we have to ask ourselves the question. So where in creation did Hashem say, right, let there be this bookshelf behind me? Which words of creation said that? Look at everything you've ever seen in your life, everything in your world, everything that surrounds you right now. What did Hashem say, and what is Hashem saying in the present tense that's causing those things to be filled with life? And here's the answer. V'zeu shekasav ha'arizal. This is what the Arizal explained. Shegam bidome mamish kamo avanim ve'afar umayim. The Arizal explained that inanimate objects, so to speak, the things that, in quotations, appear lifeless, like a rock, or like dirt, or like a glass of water. Yesh bechinas nefesh v'chayis ruchanis. It's alive. It has a soul. Water has a soul. A rock has a soul. Dirt has a soul to it. It has a chayis ruchanis. It has a spiritual life force within it. Chayis means a spiritual, means a life force. Ruchanis means spiritual. A spiritual life force. Dahainu bechinas hislabshus osios hadibur me'asar ma'amaros. It's wearing some type of garment, some type of cloak, some type of expression, some outer layer of those original 10 utterances of creation. Hamachayos umahavos asadomim lios yesh me'ayin ve'efes. Those words which again brought the world from nothing to something, to a yesh, to a state of being, from ayin ve'efes, from utter nothingness, shelifnei sheshes yimei bereishis. Somehow that rock, somehow that cup of water that you're drinking from is being brought to life by the words of creation. How? Where were the words said? Right? Again, you open up the bereishis, you open up the chumash to parak aleph, you don't see the words. So when was it said? Ah, so here's the answer. Va'af shelo huzker shem even Ba'asar ma'amaros shebetorah. You'll say, where does it say Hashem said, let there be an even, let there be a rock? Hashem never said that. I can look. Vayomer Hashem said, let there be this, let there be that. It doesn't say, let there be a rock. It doesn't say, let there be this light. It doesn't say, let there be a tanya. Va'av shelo huzker shem even. Even though the word even does not appear by the 10 expressions of creation, the 10 utterances of creation, Afal pichein nimshu chayas la'evin al yidei tseirufim v'chilufei osios Hamizgalgalos Bereish Lamed Aleph Sha'arim Panim Va'achor. Don't turn your brains off. I know these are scary words. Kamosha Kasov B'Sefer Yetzira. The word Evan is found in Bereishis. Really? Where? I don't see it. It's because you don't have the eyes of the Baal HaTanya. And you don't have the eyes of the Baal Shem Tov. And you don't have the eyes of the Vilna Gaon. And you don't have the eyes of Rav Itzhak Morgenstern. You don't have the eyes of the Tzaddikim who are able to what? To look at these same letters, these same words, and see something different. Vayishkav b'makom. Yaakov Avinu slept in that place. I heard this past week from Rav Matal Zilber, Mr. Chinuch Rebbe Shlita. Vayishkav, and he slept. Yesh, Yishkav, Yud Shin, Yesh, that's Yesh, Chaf Beis, Vayishkav, Yesh Chaf Beis, there are 22 letters. And Yaakov Avinu sees a dream that encompasses all of history. He's tapping into the Yesh of creation that comes from the Chaf Beis, that comes from the 22 letters of creation. So my friends, how do you find it? I don't see the word Evan. I'm looking for the word Evan in the opening chapter of Bereishis. I don't see it. Says the Baal HaTanya, you need to know how to rearrange letters. You need to know how to exchange letters. Chilufei osios. You need to understand that every letter is connected to every other letter. What the Sefer Yetzirah talks about, these 231 gates. How many letters are there? There's 22 letters. The letter Aleph is connected to the letter Beis. The letter Aleph is connected to the letter Gimel. The letter Aleph is connected to the letter Dal. The letter Aleph is connected to the letter Hey. And the same thing goes for every other letter. So essentially, every letter, all 22 letters, are connected to the other 21 letters. The Aleph is connected to the other 21 letters. The Beis is connected to the other 21 letters. What is 22 times 21? 22 times 21 is how much? 462. Okay, split it in half, it's 231. Because you can have Aleph Beis, and you can have Beis Aleph. Right? So that's what he means here. The Reish Lamed Aleph Sha'arim, the 231 gates, Ponim V'achor, means every letter connected to every other letter, forwards and backwards. There's Aleph Gimel, and there's Gimel Aleph. There's Aleph Beis, and there's Beis Aleph. For a total of what? Of 231 forwards and backwards combinations that the Sefer Yetzirah describes. So you open up the Chumash, and you say, I wish I saw myself on the page of the Chumash. However, you just have to look deeper. You have to look at the letters. You have to learn how to move around the letters, to interpret the letters, to exchange the letters, to rearrange the letters, right? To take something that looks frightening like kares and to turn it into a keser. To take something that looks like a nega, an affliction, and turn it into oneg. Just rearrange the letters. Gematrias, different exchanges. Until what? Through this process of exchanges, of transformations, you take the 10 expressions of creation. And from the same letters that uphold the heavens, that created light, that brought humanity into existence, the same letters can extract from those letters through this process the word Evan, a lifeless rock sitting in your backyard. Right? In, December 2020. In Kislev, Tavshin Pei Aleph. What an unbelievable thing. And it's still receiving that original light of creation, that original Dvar Hashem. The original Dibur of Hashem is filling that little piece of dirt in your backyard. That little rock that's stuck in your shoe at the bottom of your sneaker. It's receiving its life force from Hashem at this very moment. The same thing is true for everything in the world. Hashemos shenekram behem b'lashon hakodesh, the true name of something as it's called in Hebrew, Evan, Aleph Beis Nun Arak, Evan, its name in Hebrew is its essence. Hein osios hadibur hamishtal shalos mimadrega lamadrega. This is the same letters, the same words of the opening section of the Chumash. It's just being passed down. It's being filtered down through all these exchanges of letters, these processing of letters, through this process called chilufim, of exchanging letters, of tmuros, right? Of tmuros, of transferring letters. Ha'osios bereish lamed aleph sha'arim, ad shemagios umislabshos ba'oso nivra lachioso. Until it finally comes down and it makes that rock, that sits in its place in the middle of the desert. And it's alive. It's mamish alive. I remember the first time I learned this with my friend Rafi Light. We were learning the Shara Yichud V'Amuna one summer. And we were in camp. And I just remember everything became like so illuminated. You know, we were in like a nice camp setting, a lot of trees and a lot of grass and rocks. And you just look at everything differently, right? It's alive. You respect a rock, you respect a blade of grass, because it's literally being willed into existence at that very moment by Hashem with the same letters that created the entire universe, the osios of creation. And everything becomes so bright and so illuminated, so alive. It's such an amazing thing when we believe these ideas, when we live with these ideas. So it's the same letters of creation. And they take on the form till they become whatever that thing is, that rock, that blade of grass. Lefisha ein prote hanivraim yecholim lekabel chayusam meyasar ma'amaros atzman shebetorah. So now the Baal HaTanya says, and if you'll ask me, why didn't Hashem write in the Torah? Right? Why didn't Hashem write in the Torah? Let there be an Aaron and a David and a Dovi. Why didn't Hashem write in the Torah? Let there be an Ami and an Alex and a Dani and a Moshe Tzvi. Why didn't Hashem write these things in the Torah? Right? Why do I need to receive, so to speak, this refracted light? Why do I need the light to undergo all these transformations? Why do I need all the gematrias and the exchanging of letters? Do you realize, let's go back to what we started with for just half a second. Did you ever think that when you say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, and you say Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuso Liolam Va'ed, did you ever think that Echad and Va'ed are the same thing? Echad and Va'ed are the same thing. Echad is Aleph Ches Dalet. Va'ed is Vav Ayin Dalet. So the Dalets are the same. Okay, I see that. No. What if I told you the Aleph and the Vav are the same? What if I told you the Ches of Echad and the Ayin of Va'ed are the same? The Zohar says they're the same. Now, you look at it and you start scratching your head. You say, how is that the same? Until you start to think about it. And then you say, ah, the speech, words, language, the 22 letters are divided into 5 sections. There are letters we make, there's sounds, there's letters that we produce with our lips. Beis, pei, mem. There's letters that we produce with our throat. Aleph, hey, ayin, ches. There's letters we produce with our teeth. Resh. Right? Dalid. There's different letters that we say with our palate, with our lips, with our teeth. Tzadi. I use my tongue against the top of my mouth or against my teeth. There are 5 different motzaos hapeh. 5 different parts. 5 different ways that we speak. So says the Zohar, so the word echad and the word va'ed are exactly the same. Why? Because aleph of echad and vav, Aleph and Vav come from the same place. Aleph, Vav. I'm using my lip to make the sound. Aleph, Vav. So they come from the same part, so they're interchangeable. Ches, Echad, Ches comes from my throat. Ayin comes from my throat. They're interchangeable. Dalet is the same as Dalet. So Echad and Va'ed are exactly the same, even though they're so different. So that's what we're learning tonight. We're learning that what? That the rock that you see, again, in Tafshin Pei Aleph, is a rock from the beginning of time. And if Hashem decided to stop willing it into existence, the rock never was. If Hashem wanted the whole world to disappear, it's not that it stops from now and moving forward it no longer exists. It never was. It's either fully alive right now or it never was. Those are the only 2 choices. And therefore, for the rock to exist as a rock, it can't say in the Torah, let there be an Evan. It can't say in the Torah, right, let there be a Jew who's living in the year Tafshin Pei Aleph. We're not big enough, as we are, as ourselves, to be makabel that great light. So Hashem filters the light for us. How does Hashem filter the light? And that's what the Baal HaTanya is explaining, including the Perek. Ve'ein koach behem lekabel achayus, ela al yedei sheyored achayus. We're not able to receive that life force directly. It would be like trying to look at God and survive. You can't do that. Le'yor eni adam v'chay, the Chumash says. You can't see Hashem and live. So Hashem has to what? Hashem has to give it to us in a way that we can actually be makabalit. U'mishtal shel mimadrega l'madrega pachusa mimena. Hashem has to downgrade it through these various madregos. Al yedei chilufim utmuras ha'osios v'gamatrios. Shein chejman ha'osios. Through all of these, you know, they're not games, but through all of these transformations that take place, right? A simpleton looks at it and says, oh, you're just playing, you know, playing games with the letters. You're not playing games. These are the building blocks of reality. When you change letters around, when you exchange letters, when you calculate a gematria and they line up, it's telling you something deeper. It's revealing something scientific about the mitzias of it. Until the letters have undergone enough of a transformation that it becomes what? That it becomes the, I don't know, it becomes the window shade over David Lifshitz's shoulder. Right? That's also the same letters that Hashem spoke at the time of creation, just in some type of contracted and transformed expression that's able to actually, you know, function as a window shade. And whatever something is, whatever its true name is in Hebrew, it's made up of those letters of creation. That's the kli, lachayos hametzumtzum ba'osios shem zeh, to receive again that life force in a metzumtzum, in a contracted form. It's those letters contracted in such a way that you can actually live with it. It looks like a tree. It looks like a cloud. It looks like a pen. It looks like a laptop. It looks like a desk. It looks like all the things of our life, which sometimes we see and they're just so plain. But the Baal HaTanya says, open your eyes. The Baal Shem Tov says, open your eyes. It's Hashem talking to you through every object, not just people, through the objects that surround you. It's Hashem communicating with you. It's Hashem filling your life with elokus, with godliness. To create a world and to give them chiyas forever. Because like the Zohar says, and like the Tanya talks about in Perek Dalet of the first section of the Tanya, like the Tanya discusses, right, this famous line from the Zohar, that Hashem and the Torah are one, or like the Tanya talks about in Perek Chaf Gimel, the Hashem and the Torah are one. So that means to the degree that you believe that Hashem's letters of Torah are informing your life and creating your life, that's called living with Hashem. And this is how the Baal HaTanya begins the journey of the Shar HaYichud VeEmuna, to recognize the oneness of all of reality. Through all the transformations, they look different. Just like Hashem said 10 different things at creation. Vayomer this, Vayomer that. Let there be a rakia, let there be an ocean, let there be sun and moon and stars, let there be an Adam and a Chava. Right? And Hashem is still talking to us through every single thing. And it's the original Dvar Hashem. La'olam. Hashem Dvar Chanitza B'Shamayim. It's the original words of Hashem. And when I see that in my life, when I see my life as being filled with the letters of Torah, Oraisa Kuchabrichu Kulachar, Hashem is one with His Torah. So if I'm swimming in letters of Torah, that means I'm swimming in godliness. And obviously there's a big difference, a person who lives their life swimming in Hashem and a person who thinks that God is somewhere out there, or that whatever I have in my life are objects that were created by human beings or were made once upon a time and now I still have it. No, that's not how it works. Every second, Hashem is willing it into existence. And again, if we could think about that, we'll live very different lives. Okay? Have any questions, comments, thoughts? Let's hear.
Yeah, Rabbi. Yeah, I was bad idea. You brought it back from the Sifriyat here from the Suchini Rebbe. I remember learning that last week, the name of the Marv Shemesh.
Oh, yeah?
Zucker brings that in.
Okay.
Zucker brings the name of the Marv Shemesh.
He had a whole arichas. Rav Matl had a whole arichas explaining the Yesh Chaf Beis. He spoke about Yesh, and Yesh is the Shai Olamos. It says that a tzaddik is going to be zochet to 310 worlds, because the tzaddik lives with Yesh. He lives with reality, right? Not what we call reality, you know? It's such a joke when people say, you know, you have to be more, you know, realistic. And they're talking about being more like, more in tune with physicality, right? As physicality. That's not realistic. Reality of our Hashem. La'olam Hashem Dvar Chanitza B'Shamayim. That's reality. That's Bial. Right? That's being practical, so to speak. You know, that's the Metzius of the whole universe. All right?